Hey, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, we have Kirk Cameron, who talks about the homeschooled awakening, and Drew Hernandez, who went down to the southern border and reported live from what's happening in our country. It's an invasion. It's an amazing interview. Listen to the whole way through. It's incredible. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com and come to our Student Action Summit, which is happening at the end of July, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. It's going to be an amazing event. I want you all there, tpusa.com/SAS. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Homeschooling has exploded since the lockdowns. We've seen nearly a doubling in homeschooling, and the movement is growing, and the public government schools, they are getting very worried about it. A man has a great American patriot, a man that I know, has a new documentary about this called The Homeschool Awakening, June 13th and 14th in theaters, and that is the brilliant Kirk Cameron. Kirk, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, Charlie, great to be talking with you, bro. Nice to see you.
You too. So tell us about your movie.
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been working on this documentary. I'm calling it The Homeschool Awakening. And there really is a great awakening that's taking place, a parent-led movement that was really sparked by the pandemic shutdowns of public schools. Now, homeschooling's been a thing for quite a while. In fact, my wife and I homeschooled our six kids. But the sending of children home from public schools to learn in their bedroom and living room gave parents this front row seat. They saw what their kids were being taught. They were horrified. Homeschooling doubled. Many of the parents didn't send their kids back to school. They're looking for new options. And now there's this explosion of parents who are looking for hope. They're looking for options. And I want to give that to them by giving them a front row seat and being part of the everyday adventures of about 17 different American homeschool families who are on mission to put faith, family, and freedom back into learning.
So how many of these people that are homeschooling that you talk about in your movie never would have seen themselves as homeschooling, but they were prompted to by other kind of environmental factors?
Probably most all of them. There were a couple who may, as parents, were homeschooled as kids, but the majority of them thought the kind of things that I thought, like homeschooling. Who does that? That's just kind of weird. You know, I mean, you keep your kids sequestered in your house. You're probably a Quaker. You probably own a cow and churn your own butter. But they discovered that that's actually not the case. In fact, there's rural families, there's families in urban settings. I live in Hollywood, I'm a movie maker. And they've discovered that there are smart strategies for socializing your kids. There's this vast community of homeschool families with so much help, endless amounts of curriculum. And it turns out that colleges and universities love homeschool students because of the benefits that they get socially, academically, and otherwise. So it's really exploding the stereotypes and giving people a real modern day look at what you can do if you get creative and get in community with like-minded people for the sake of your kids' future.
Yeah, we've seen homeschooling just take off like a rocket post-COVID. And some parents are a little intimidated by it. Talk about how, you know, through this film, you are attempting to try to destigmatize homeschooling.
So, as I said earlier, I had an allergic reaction to the idea of homeschooling myself. And there were some articles that came out recently, MSNBC and plenty of Twitter feeds that would come in saying, oh, homeschooling is an attempt from the extreme right to destroy American education. Somehow it's racist. These kids are sequestered and they don't have focus. They're not able to perform well in the real world. And the exact opposite of all of that turns out to be true. If you talk to homeschool kids, the majority of them, you'll be shocked at how well they have conversations with grown adults. Unlike your average 13-year-old, 14, 15-year-old at a public school system that are sort of stuck in this monoculture of kids their own age, glued to their phone. And what I've found that kind of socialization in those settings is not helpful, it's harmful. But in a homeschool setting, kids are able to be with those who are outside their age group. Parents are involved, grandparents are involved, older kids teaching younger kids. You're able to travel, experience different cultures, all kinds of things. Charlie, were you, I can't remember, were you homeschooled?
I was not. No. Private and then public school, 6 through 12. So,
well, I know you've met a lot of homeschool families, and I'm routinely impressed mm-hmm. by them when I go and talk with them at conferences, and you see the co-ops and all of the networks that exist. It's providing an option of hope for parents that for millions of them is becoming the gold standard. And it's not just to get away from the bad things that they're learning in public schools, but they're realizing that they're getting their family back. It's actually like filling their sails and saying, wow, this is what it's like to be a family. I'm not farming this out to a system that I'm trying to undo, with the little time I have left on the weekends. I'm actually able to pour all the right stuff into our kids in a community of others who want to do the same thing, and it's making a difference.
The movie is called The Homeschooling Awakening, or The Homeschool Awakening, I should say.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of parents say, oh, my kids will become socially awkward. They won't. But also other parents say, I can't possibly become a teacher. Talk about how you navigate that through the film and how parents actually, they're able to teach more than they think.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Charlie, that I love teachers, and teachers have such an important job. They make a difference in the lives of children. And God bless all of the good teachers who are devoting their lives to teaching kids. In fact, my father is a public school teacher, and so is my grandmother and my grandfather. And teachers have made a great difference in my life. However, as we know, in the public school system today, it's not like it was when we went to public school or our parents went to public school. Teachers are not choosing the curriculum. The government is, and the good teachers have got their hands tied. So with regard to homeschooling, you don't have to be an advanced physics teacher in order to teach that subject to your kids. You're the coach, you're the quarterback. There's some things that you can teach. And then will be other people in the homeschool community in your area, no doubt, who are qualified to teach these more advanced subjects that you're not comfortable with. And then, of course, there are online teachers with PhDs, fantastic curriculums that you can take as part of colleges, universities, private schools. There's even sports programs that you can be involved in, if not within your homeschool community sports leagues, but the schools that are in your community, private schools and even public schools. A lot of people don't know that, but all of these things are available to you. They are to me, and I live in California. So if you live in a state that embraces this more than we do out here, I'm sure your options will be even more extensive.
So in closing here, where can people find out more and purchase the film, The Homeschool Awakening?
So The Homeschool Awakening is in theaters this Monday and Tuesday only. So you got to get your tickets for this Monday and Tuesday, June 13th and 14th only. And many theaters have already sold out. So go online to thehomeschoolawakening.com or just go to kirkcameron.com. I've got a link there. If you put in your zip code, the theater will come up in your neighborhood and then you can reserve your tickets. Mine's already sold out. So I'm going to buy a ticket to Top Gun. And then I'm just going to go over to the Homeschool Awakening Theater and stand in the back.
That's a good thing that you're sold out. I love it. Kirk Cameron, Great American. The website is thehomeschoolawakening.com. And everyone listening right now, you should homeschool your kids if you can. It'll make your family better connected. Watch the movie if you're a skeptic. It'll also help save the country. Kirk, thank you so much.
God bless you, Charlie. Great to talk to you.
You too. Thank you. Look, over the years, you've probably tried different investments in stocks and mutual funds. So now you know they could be up or down or all over the place. But with inflation running at 8.5%, probably even higher than that, the highest rate for 40 years, do you need uncertainty? Being able to sleep at night knowing your investments aren't about to crash, it's worth its weight in gold. And speaking of gold, if you've been jumping from one investment idea to the next, a gold IRA with Noble Gold is perfect. With gold, you'll shield your gains from taxes, you'll keep the real value of your wealth, you'll own a global asset, something tangible, and you'll protect your wealth against an economic crash. What is not to like? And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong in Noble Gold. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more at noblegoldinvestments.com. They're a phenomenal company. I really think highly of them. noblegoldinvestments.com. Own things you can touch at noblegoldinvestments.com. One of the most important shows that we have done recently is the show where we said we are entering the final phase, where the Democrats will, they understand now, they're reacting to our reaction that they can no longer call us names, that the paralysis of insults no longer works against us, and that it's going to become nothing more than brute force, that they're going to have to use their political power as a last means resort to shut us up. To literally, in the case of Peter Navarro, put him in leg irons. Joe Biden went on Jimmy Kimmel, and he joked about sending his political opponents to jail. Now, Joe Biden is in a very fragile mental state. I do not think he actually is saying things he doesn't mean. I think Joe Biden is saying things he didn't mean to say. Play cut 60.
Get asked. Look, the Republicans don't play it square. Why do you play it square?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If we do the same thing they do, our democracy will literally be in jeopardy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Not a joke. And
I understand their argument, but also it's like you're playing Monopoly with somebody who, you know, won't pass go and won't follow any of the rules. And how do you ever make any progress if they're not following the rules?
Well, you've got to send them to jail, you know. There's that little box
directly to jail.
Yeah, just lock them up. I mean, come on. Just put them in handcuffs. Our conversation about the final phase and entering the final phase is largely focused on how Democrats know they have nothing left. They've lost the American people when it comes to give us a lot of political power, we'll improve your lives. Hasn't happened. Every single one of their public policy proposals is against the laws of nature and nature's God, from the chemical castration of children to open borders to gun confiscation to artificially intervening in the economy with made-up currency. They are against the laws of nature that wire our existence. That's why their policies don't work. They never will work. They don't believe in the laws of nature. We're entering the final phase where a Michigan gubernatorial candidate, who some say is the front runner, was just recently arrested in connection to the January 6th Capitol breach. Michigan gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly was arrested yesterday and charged with participating in the January 6th, 2021 Capitol breach, according to federal prosecutors in a court filing of the U.S. District Court of District Columbia. This is all part of what we have been warning about, which is the final phase. All they have left is brute political power, deplatforming, censoring, silencing, handcuffs, prison. They will come after you. It doesn't matter about fairness, justice, integrity. Those are words on a sheet of paper, fidelity, bravery, integrity. They will cast aside every single one of them. What they care about is taking people off the chessboard. Now, this strategy they are doing is not going to work. It's not going to work if we remain resilient, if we have resolve, if we push back against their authoritarian, tyrannical tendencies. But you have the President of the United States saying, oh, we just got to send them to jail. Remember when Donald Trump joked around, lock her up with Hillary Clinton? They lost their mind. He's a fascist, is what they said for years. Joe Biden just goes on Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, let's just come on, send my political opponents to jail. Michigan Republican gubernatorial candidate arrested. Peter Navarro put in solitary confinement with leg irons trying to get on a plane. Steve Bannon's trial is coming up. All these things are coming together into a confirmation of this phase of power. We have the truth. We do not live in a country where we resolve our differences through dialogue anymore. No, it really matters now who has more guns, literally, who has the power of the state, literally, and who's willing to use it. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Iron Man thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. A couple months ago, we launched a new project at Turning Point USA, Frontlines with Drew Hernandez. And Drew Hernandez has been a Frontlines journalist for years, testified in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, did a wonderful job. And the whole idea was that we want to go tell the stories as we see it, not through some sort of filter. And Drew is bold and he has courage. You were also doing the pro-choice stuff recently, all the abortion stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were at the Arizona State Capitol and capturing all the psychopaths. Some people were throwing up signs that said a fetus equals a good snack. It wasn't a troll. I mean, but this is what we do. We just capture the psychos and just basically put up a mirror to who they are.
And show the world. You did Kyle Rittenhouse, I think, is a free man, largely thanks to your testimony and your footage. Also, of course, obviously, you did some wonderful work and have been doing some wonderful work throughout Texas. You did some interesting work last week, but what happened last night, I think, is some of your most noteworthy work recently. Mm-hmm. So tell us about it. You went down to Yuma, is that right?
So yeah, we were just filming for Frontlines the past couple days down at the southern border, Yuma, here in Arizona. It was a little slow because we showed up yesterday during the day. And for obvious reasons, the heat is rising like crazy here in Arizona. 105. It's up there, especially down there. And so some of the Border Patrol agents, they were very nice. They're being really cool, being very joking and funny with us. And they're like, you need to come back around midnight if you want to see something. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, midnight to maybe around 5 in the morning. And so the team and I, Jorge Ventura was with us too at the Daily Caller. He was helping us out.
He's a great reporter.
He's a great reporter, put out viral footage as well. You guys need to go follow him at Ventura Report on Twitter. We were like, let's just pull a night shift. Let's just do it and see what happens.
I love it.
So, you know, we shifted gears. We were going to film the next day and hopefully try and film something, but we just took the chance. We showed up at midnight and we started to see some apprehensions. I mean, you've been down there, right? You've been down to the Gap,
I think,
Charlie?
I've been right to this very sector.
Okay, that's it. That's the Gap.
I've been to the exact same place, right near the Native American Reservation.
Okay.
I know precisely where you were.
So we were kind of watching the sequence happen, mm-hmm. right? So a little further away from the Indian Reservation, yep. where there's the actual gap in the wall.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
That's where, like, the runners, where all the men are being sent. Sometimes they'll run drugs through there, or sometimes that's kind of where the single men will try and get through. But then further down by the Indian reservation, that open part two is where the family units come, where they're just massive groups of family. So sometimes the cartels or the human smugglers, they'll send the family units on one side while on the other
side. That's exactly right.
You know, there's a diversion. They go in. So we were kind of going back and forth. We were seeing the Border Patrol activate. They were going after some of these runners that were trying to get in the U.S. They would apprehend them. Some would get away. It was a little slow throughout the night. But
it started slow, but then it.
Yes, it started slow. But then around 3:30 in the morning, this massive group showed up. And one of the Border Patrol agents tipped us off because we were in another location. He sent us a picture and he's like, you guys need to get here. Like, this is a huge group and we're going to be here all night. So we showed up between 3:30. And when we stopped our coverage, I'm running off of like no sleep right now. We literally just came from the Southern Border Patrol.
So good.
I'm trying to remember all these times. Between 3:30 in the morning and when some of the Border Patrol agents actually kind of were wrapping it up, it was like maybe like 5:30 in the morning. Between that time, it was like 800 people.
800.
800
and this is just
illegals.
One passing, one sector.
It was a caravan. It was, you call it a mini caravan, 800.
People.
So some of the coyotes and the cartel that were on the other side of the southern border,
The Mexican side.
The Mexican side, you know, I'm crazy. The team's crazy. We decided to go back there. Sorry, Marina, if you're watching, but I decided to go and do it.
Great.
So I went back there and, you know, I was conversing with the coyote, like one of the cartel dudes. And I just started asking him, I was like, how many people do you think is in this one group? I was like, give me an estimate. And he told me in Spanish between, you know, 600 to 800 in one group. And
in one sector
between 3:30 in the morning and 5:15 in the morning, that short amount of time tonight, if you're a viewer of Charlie here in Arizona, your state was invaded last night.
But that doesn't count the southern Yuma sector. That doesn't count Nahalis. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count all the other, and doesn't count Texas, Rio Grande Valley. I want to play some of your tape here. It's extraordinary. Let's play cut 83. This is the first group I believe you report on. Mm-hmm. You say, I'm sorry, 82, 300 illegals that have crossed into the United States through the empty border space. Let's start with 82. We'll go from there.
Yep. This is the group of illegals that has come across the southern border illegally. There's at least more than 150 people here. Tons of men. There's definitely a lot more men in this group right now. And that's what we've been seeing all night. Which is interesting because a lot of these people pose as families. And we want to see the other side right now. We're going to go take a look at the other side. But this, guys, this is a massive group.
Huge.
I can't emphasize it anymore. And these people are coming right there. That's where they come in, right there. And here they go. Getting bust.
Yeah.
What we were just seeing is basically just a long line. People on podcast and radio.
That was the beginning. Okay.
That was the first volley.
That was the first kind of little wave. And the reason why I posted more than 300 at the beginning was because I asked the Border Patrol agents, I was like, what do you guys estimate just came in right now? And that's what he told us. But then hundreds of more started to come in throughout
the
entire night.
And that's the next
one. Yep.
So this is the 800. Now, before we go any further, these people are not just from Nicaragua and Mexico. Where are they from?
No. So we found out, Jorge was asking some questions too. We found out, I have it written down right here, Russians, Afghanis, Indians, people from Georgia, Peru, Brazil, Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, Colombia, and there's even more. And if you guys caught in the clip, I did mention that there were more men.
Single men.
They were like some buff dudes. They were well fed. What's interesting too is some of these countries, and some of the individuals we saw, they didn't look like poor people or poor individuals. They did look like individuals that probably had money, that came from some of these countries, that had the ability to come from all the way from Afghanistan. You see what I'm saying, Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was abnormal last night. And plus being more men, the ratio to women.
So there's a drop zone right near there where they drop their passports and they drop their stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to play this tape. I want to ask you, did some of these people want to get caught? Because there's two buckets of people, right? There's some that actually don't mind getting caught, and there's some that don't want to get caught. The ones that don't want to get caught are usually criminals with backgrounds. They have guns or they're smuggling drugs, typically. Mm-hmm. Those are the gotaways. Let's play cut 83, 800 illegals in this batch in total. Play cut 83.
I'm on the Mexican side of the border right now. Here's another massive, massive group on their way to cross in. Guys, this is huge. I'm here with one of the coyotes right now, actually.
I've never seen footage like this. And I've seen, this is some pretty unique stuff, man.
So that's when hundreds of more started to come. So my report of 300 only lasted about 8 minutes.
And then became 800.
And then it became 800 within minutes. This is what was happening last night. And that's on the backside of the fence at the border. And it was just hundreds of people. I was even, the cartel coyote was right next to me. And that's when I was asking him questions. And every time I would kind of like put the phone on him, he would kind of like look at me like, nah.
So, but let's kind of make sure people understand this, because look, I grew up in Chicago, far from the border, and there's just all these misconceptions. We have to understand, walk through our audience, the coyotes, the cartels, they'll recruit these people. They'll take money from, this is a coordinated effort. This is not just people bumbling and stumbling across the border, right?
No,
this is a coordinated, financed effort. Can you help build
absolutely
that out for our audience?
So the cartels are very well organized, and they're not just some, like, I think when people think of cartels, they think of like just some Mexican mafia in Mexico.
Like Dos Equis commercial.
Yeah, like
right?
they're transnational. These people function in China. These people function in Europe. They function all across the entire globe. They're making hundreds of millions, billions of dollars a day on human smuggling. So
that's
on the
their
other
most
side,
profitable business.
Exactly. So on the other side of things, you have the coyotes, you have the falcons, you have people that are lookouts.
What are
they
the
have
falcons?
Their own. The falcons are kind of more of the guys that are just watching what's happening.
I saw some of them when I went to the border.
They're not really like pushing people. That's kind of like the coyote's job, where they're actually smuggling, they're leading people. The guy I was literally walking with was a coyote. He was literally told me, I'm leading these people to the United States. And he was proud of it. He felt like he was doing a good thing.
Now,
but the
human
Falcons
smuggling and human trafficking is a massive federal crime, and yet no one's getting arrested for this. But Peter Navarro gets arrested when he gets off an airplane.
Absolutely. So they're very well organized. But I wanted to go back to your previous question, Charlie, when you said, do these people want to be caught or not? These people, those hundreds of people, they want to be caught. And here's the reason why. Because we have a federal government right now that has incentivized these people to do just that, because they know it's a free ride. It's a free ticket. They know once they cross that border and they see the Border Patrol agents, it's home free.
They're not going to get sent back to their country.
Nope.
And so,
unless they're from Mexico, and there's a couple others.
That's
the
Title 42,
yes,
remain in Mexico.
They cannot claim asylum.
But Afghanistan, India. So what they do, and this is important for everyone across the country to realize, I know this, they're like, okay, I know this, but they'll go buy a ticket, get however they possibly can to Mexico City, then to Mexicali. Mm-hmm. And then they'll make their way to the Yuma Crossing sector. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? It's a voyage.
Mm-hmm.
And the cartels are there all along the way to extort these people and also rape young girls, mm-hmm, and take advantage of them. It is a form of slavery. Yes. Is that an exaggeration?
No, it's absolutely not, because some of these people are so desperate to get into the country, Charlie. They're so desperate to put their lives on the line, their families on the line, their children on the line. They're willing to do what it takes to come to this country. And it's so sad, but the cartels view these people as nothing but a commodity. When you talk to the Border Patrol agents, that's all they ever tell you. These people are seen as a commodity. They're seen like cattle. So when they're being treated this way, and we have a federal government that knows this, and they push these people to do this, this is the real crime against humanity. I mean, yeah, when you take a look at this being incentivized, it's dangerous and it's evil and it's wrong. But it's basically become legalized.
That's
it's
right.
Like legalized human
smuggling. Yes.
And our Border Patrol, God bless them, they're doing the best they can. But we have a federal government right now, Charlie, that has literally legalized human smuggling and turned our Border Patrol into a Uber service. Because when the cartels send them over, our Border Patrol just takes them in, gives them a ride, processes them. They, you know, search them. They put them on a bus. They send them to some processing center. From there, they're put on an NGO. And then if they claim to have family anywhere in the United States of America,
they're good to go.
Federal grants, they get a plane ticket, or they're put on a train and they're just sent throughout the United States. We saw this in Texas and it's happening in Arizona.
That was 800 last night. Yuma sector is averaging that's not the whole sector. That's just one area of apprehension. 800 in one area was maybe a couple hundred yards, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you had 800. And so Arizona-wide, and we don't get the true numbers from Mayorkas, it's probably 2,000 people that are coming across. And this is the summer. It's supposed to go down in the summer, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it is not inconceivable that it's 4,000 people entire border-wide a day right now. Yeah, you go do the math. That's millions of people crossing into your country right now illegally. Families across the nation are experiencing the homeschool awakening. Join award-winning actor Kirk Cameron as he dives into adventures of dynamic American families on a mission to put fun and faith back into learning. Kirk was recently quoted by saying, quote, "The pandemic made parents grossly aware of what the public schools are teaching our kids. It's up to us, the parents, to cultivate the hearts, souls, and minds of our children. Today's public school system is not working for us. They're actively working against us. Public education has become public enemy number one, and I could not agree more." The Homeschool Awakening focuses on homeschooling journeys of different families, explores the in and outs and necessity of parents regaining their kids' education. It provides honest answers to the homeschooling most frequently asked questions. Kirk Cameron presents The Homeschool Awakening, coming to theaters this June for two nights only on Monday, June 13th and Tuesday, June 14th, 7 p.m. local time. For tickets and information, visit thehomeschoolawakening.com. That's thehomeschoolawakening.com. Let's play cut 92. Drew Hernandez live from the Yuma, Arizona.
A lot more men tonight than women. And you look at the packs, you look inside of their gear, you're finding condoms, you're finding contraceptive pills. I mean, this is the harsh, evil reality of what this current administration has incentivized for these people to put themselves through. You want to know what this administration thinks about Hispanics and Latinos and Latino women coming from these foreign Latin American countries? This is what they think. They don't care if they get raped. They don't care if they get killed or murdered or kidnapped. They just say, hey, now's your time to come into the United States of America. We hope you make it.
True.
You know, it's a timely video, especially after this recent news that came out with the Soros going after, more than 20
Hispanic radio stations.
Yep. Conservative, almost anti. I mean, one of them was an anti-communist radio station that they bought out. They are going after the Hispanics hard, because we all know that the largest non-white voting bloc is now the Hispanic community. So, I mean, I think what's happening is people need to seriously take a look at this and identify, especially the Hispanic community, that we are dealing with a political party right now that just wants to literally exploit you and use you and take people from foreign countries that look like you and that may think like you or talk like you just for a vote. And they're willing to do it at the expense of them possibly getting murdered, raped, or abducted.
And so the how many gotaways did you see last night? These are the real criminals, by the way. This is the ones we really got to look out for. How many did you see?
I would say before we saw that huge group, we did see a couple that got away, but then we did see the Border Patrol kind of find them and get a hold of them. But that's just what we could see. I mean, it's still a huge area, especially at night. But then when that massive group came, that's what everyone's focus was on. So I could only imagine what was going on. Like I said, we were on the side where all the families come in. So I could only imagine what was really going on.
But
on the other side.
It wasn't a lot of families. It was young men.
Yeah.
Like fighting men.
Where typically that's where that zone is.
Yeah, but
is.
The kind of stereotype is like, oh, there's all these women and young children. You saw some of that, but most of it was like 28, 29, 30-year-old men. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it was a little confusing last night, because typically those are the ones that get deported. But sometimes they'll pose as family units. Sometimes they'll try and look like their family units. And the Border Patrol will tell you, like, we really have no idea to confirm if these people are actual families or not. I mean, yeah, we could do DNA testing, but it's not that accurate. And we can't do that for a group of 800 people in one night.
So how easy would this be to fix?
I think what President Trump was doing and was on track when I talk. Here's interesting, too. I haven't even put out this video. We're going to put it out when we put out Frontlines tonight. But I was actually talking to a Mexican national. He was on the other side of the border, and he actually had some pretty decent English. And I asked him, I said, where are you from? He's like, I'm from here in Mexico. I've lived here all my life, here on the border town. And I said, have things gotten worse down here under President Biden? I was like, honestly. He's like, yeah. He's like, things have definitely gone up. I was like, what about President Trump? I was like, were things like kind of way lower? And he's like, yeah, obviously, it was not nowhere near as bad as it is right now. I asked the same thing to that coyote and the cartel guy. I wish I got it on camera, but I couldn't because he wouldn't let me film him. I asked him the same question, and it was the same answers. I think upholding our international laws, our border security, finishing the wall. Jorge and I were down there as well. You still see the ruins. You've been down
yep,
there.
They're still there. They have the steel just rusting.
Just rusting. It's worse. They're still just sitting there. Obviously, building the wall is a start, but also empowering our Border Patrol agents.
To allow to deport them. People on site, too. Though.
Absolutely.
We're not even allowed
rejecting
to deport them.
Rejecting these people on site.
That's the key. And we are not allowed to deport them on site under the current rules and regulations put forward by the Biden regime. Okay. It should be a zero tolerance thing. And it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And the Mexican government, this is where Trump was brilliant, threaten them with tariffs and get them on board. The Mexican government could do a lot to stop this. This is all organized. It's funded on the Mexican government side. You just have to have some Mexican federales drive by and break up the party and say, get out of here. But the cartel owns their government.
Exactly. They're corrupt, because when I talked to that same Mexican national, he was like, part of the problem is those federales, because they want all these people coming because they'll rob them. And they'll exploit them, too. So it's kind of like it's just so corrupt on that side.
There are some really good Mexican reformers that want it to be fixed. You got to find them, empower them, the Mexican government. Trump was doing that. Mm-hmm. He isolated some people that really want what's best there. But corruption is widespread. Drew, phenomenal work. Frontlines with Drew Hernandez with Turning Point USA. You guys can go to tpusa.com to see the content. We'll repost it on charliekirk.com. Your Twitter?
Drew H. Live on Twitter. Getter.
Same thing.
What's the Trump one again? True Social.
Yeah, there you go. Follow him. Bold journalism. Thank you, Drew. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it. Charlie. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.